Here we go, back with Brett Singer and Paula Wachinski Hernandez, and we have Amber Jones and Tasha Harrison. So representing the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program, and let's see, there's Jasmine. Yeah. All right. So again, Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine update. Bob Marley lets us come and record live and grab all this great content. And it's been great today. It's been kind of back to back to back. And we had to just squeeze in Brian because we kind of ran out of time for him earlier. So you had a talk yesterday talking about the vegetarian athlete. Today you're talking about cost effective. Uh-huh. And we actually kind of brought this topic up yesterday, being vegetarian, costing more, and things like that. So Paula, why don't you give us a brief overview of what Brett's presentation was today?
Today it was about fueling the athlete before event or training, as well as some during, but then some methods of getting those carbohydrates and fats for recovery, but then mainly beforehand, carbohydrate in. And then also spacing meals out. So if you're having a heavier, if you want to fuel the athlete well beforehand, you want to give them some time to digest that food. And then the closer you get into before an event, having it mostly straight with minimal fat and minimal protein, so they can digest it well and have that carbohydrate in it.
What do you think, Brett? Was she listening?
Yes.
Good job. You passed.
Good quiz.
We worked that out earlier. You didn't know that. All right, so go a little bit more deeper with that for me here.
We talked a little bit about just what occurs during exercise. One of the things we talked about was that when exercise begins, blood flow is shunted away from the digestive tract, and so that means that it takes a lot longer to digest our food. So we want to make sure anything that we do consume is digested completely before exercise begins, because if it hasn't been digested, then that means that it's going to sit in the stomach for a while when the game actually rolls around. So talked about making sure that we give ourselves enough time to digest the food, making sure that we give ourselves the appropriate nutrition so that we eat plenty of carbohydrates before a game, so that way we have plenty of fuel to utilize during exercise. For higher intensity exercise activities, such as most sports, the higher the intensity, the more we rely on carbohydrates. So that means carbohydrates needs to be the focal point. Very little fat at all is utilized for energy during a game, and basically no protein is utilized for energy during a game. So that means consuming large amounts of either of those before a game is somewhat pointless. So we really try and utilize fat and protein just to make sure that the athlete feels comfortable and full or content before a game starts, but we're not really using it for fuel so much as we are carbohydrates.
So. All right, so title was cost effective.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit more about cost effectiveness. Paula, why don't you get us started?
So I guess cost effective meaning, so if you, for example, want to make sure the athlete gets enough carbohydrate before an event or just to fuel in general during a season, there might be a push for maybe some sports nutrition products that could be expensive. But as Brett showed in his presentation, he kind of broke it down in a chart form how much per serving it would cost. So, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was less than 6 cents for the amount of carbohydrate it would take for that meal to fuel the athlete. And then for a whole balanced meal, maybe 3-4 hours before an event or before training, it could be $2 or less, yeah. I believe. So a balanced meal with everything. So it doesn't necessarily take expensive shakes or sports nutrition products. It could be done with real food and be affordable and healthy.
Yeah. We talked about, the focal point should usually be a grain of some sort before a game. So rice or pasta or bread or bagels would be easy options. And you could even do something like a starchy vegetable like corn or potatoes. And when we start to look at the price and the cost, you know, the amount that everyone needs is different depending on how much they can tolerate and what their needs are. But some people may need, anywhere from 50 to 100 grams of carbohydrates for a pregame meal. When you look at something like rice, and I've got the chart in front of me right now, but if you look at rice, you could have 60 grams of carbohydrates worth of rice and for about 10 cents. I mean, that's pretty cost effective. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people look at it as, well, maybe in some scenarios that's not as good for the athlete because it's cheap. And my point is that I would make that recommendation no matter the athlete. So it doesn't matter what their economic status is. I think rice is a good healthy carbohydrate to have before a game. I think pasta is a good healthy carbohydrate for a game. I think bread or a bagel or tortilla is a good healthy carbohydrate to have.
Does it matter
a game.
If it's white or long grain or
right.
dirty
so,
rice?
So in the scenarios that I used for these, I picked out white grains, white rice, white pasta. And on day-to-day nutrition, I would always say that I think whole grain is a better bet. And whole grain is usually going to be a little bit more expensive. But before a game, the idea is that we want the food to be digested quickly. And whole grain products sometimes take a little bit longer to digest. And that means there's an increased risk for them to feel uncomfortable or have stomach discomfort. So I usually utilize, for most athletes, the more refined white grains because they're digested much more rapidly. And so it turns out that those are more cost effective as well. And so that can be beneficial. But I would typically pick out white bread, white bagel, white pasta, white rice. If they've got plenty of time, they've got 3 to 4 hours in advance, then maybe whole grains is a good option if they want to utilize that. But you can still find cheap whole grains as well. It may not be quite that price. It may not be 5 cents per serving, but it may be, not much more expensive overall. It can still be very cost effective. So
okay. So if you guys have questions, jump in anytime.
What do you recommend for a player that does not eat white bread? They want something like our beer workouts.
So if it's the further in advance, the more you can eat. The closer to game time, the less we can eat. So not only portion-wise, but the composition of a meal. Okay. So the closer to game time, now we really start to eliminate protein and fat. So we focus primarily on just getting carbohydrates and fluids to make sure that they're in a hydrated state. So in that scenario, that's where I would utilize fruit as a good option. It doesn't have to be white bread. It can be whole grain as long as they've tried it. Usually what I would suggest is try it before practice to see, in a similar situation, if I've had, whole grain toast before practice and that was fine for that, then that means it should be fine for a game as well. As long as you're practicing it in a normal scenario, then we should be able to, we know it should be fine for a game time. I think grains are fine. I think something like a sweet potato or baked potato is a good option as an alternative to bread or rice. And even things like a sports drink in some scenarios, if they just want to use that, if they feel like food sits too heavy on their stomach, then a sports drink like a Gatorade or a Powerade could be fine to consume beforehand. Applesauce is another good one that I like to utilize as well. I think it's a good, quick and easy pregame snack.
You think the athletes follow meal timing if they're having 2 days, workouts, especially for the time? I know a lot of athletes eat at all, so they get outside and they're dehydrated and they have any to go about the workout.
Yeah, so one of the things we talked about today is that when we consume carbohydrates get stored in a couple different places, and it gets stored in your muscle and in your liver and in the form of what we call glycogen. And liver glycogen is what helps keep your blood sugar in check. So if someone's blood sugar is getting lower, then the glycogen in the liver is what helps keep that blood sugar at a normal level. The glycogen in someone's muscle is what we use for exercise. Okay, why I point that out is because when we go to sleep at night, the liver glycogen that we have available actually gets depleted by almost up to about 50%. So that means that they're starting a practice off with less liver glycogen. So now we fast forward to practice. It's very high intensity for 2 days, I would assume. And if it's high intensity exercise, that means we rely more on carbohydrates. Okay, so if they're relying heavily on carbohydrates and they have very limited liver glycogen to keep their blood sugar in a normal level, that means there's the potential that they could get hypoglycemic or low blood sugar, and that's where we start to run into athletes having, this lightheadedness, fatigue, sick, all that sort of nasty feeling that they might have during practice. And in actuality, having a little bit of carbohydrates beforehand, whether it's a sports drink or fruit or just a slice of toast, can really start to bring that glycogen level up to a normal, a little bit higher level, and it does have an impact. And especially if you have 2-a-days coming around, you're not just prepping for the first practice, you're putting yourself in a position to where you're not so depleted after the first practice. You've got more fuel available for practice one, and that way we're not finishing off too depleted for, before practice two rolls around.
How do you recommend athletic or to go through the type of nutrition you want them or?
Ooh. That's a good question.
And we're going to give that one to Paula. Go ahead.
That's a tough one. I'm going to be honest when I say, as far as sickle cell, I don't I would be giving, I wouldn't know how to answer right at this moment. So I'd be giving a poor answer. So I'm not going to answer that one because I don't have an answer for that one. So you stumped me on that.
me too.
For diabetes, it somewhat depends on the type of diabetes that they have. Is it type 1 or is it type 2? If it's type 1 diabetic, then ideally then we've got, they still need to be having carbohydrates, but we need to be doing an under control scenario, and we need to make sure that whatever they're doing is in line with their medication and the way that we're treating their diabetes. So ideally when they come work with me, the first thing we need to figure out is, you know, how much carbohydrates is appropriate for them. I'm still going to want them to have carbohydrates, though. Now, the type of carbohydrate may be a little bit different. We may focus on less refined grains, potentially, but I don't think there's going to be a dramatic difference. But it is something we definitely have to keep in mind because we want to keep their blood sugar at a normal level. Type 2 diabetics, I'm going to be a little bit less worried about overall. I'm still going to provide carbohydrates for them. You know, let's say it's a two-day practice and it's a type 2 diabetic. In that scenario, I would want them to have carbohydrates beforehand, knowing that those carbohydrates, just like it would for anyone else, are still going to be broken down into glucose, and it's going to go into the blood sugar, and we're going to be able to utilize that for fuel during exercise. So we're going to use those carbohydrates just as well as anyone else would. Type 1 diabetics, I'm a little bit more concerned about because of the insulin regimen that we're going to be utilizing.
One more today.
Uh-huh.
What is your take on protein powder versus chocolate recovery?
Good question. So for, you know, what we talked about today is affordable, right? So affordable meals, milk, whether it's whole milk or 2% milk or chocolate milk, is just as effective for growth and repair of muscle tissue as a protein-containing supplement. So now you have to remember, though, that a protein drink may have a higher amount of protein in a portion, so it may take a couple of cups worth of milk to get the same amount of protein that you would get from a powder. But when it comes to cost effectiveness, protein or the milk is going to be a cheaper and more affordable option. Milk is a really great recovery drink, not only in the sense that it's helpful for protein and helpful for muscle protein synthesis, but it's also helpful in the sense that it provides carbohydrates. And because of the content of it, because it has electrolytes and because it has protein and because it has carbohydrates, it actually provides, it's a very good rehydration source because it slows the absorption of the fluid that you're consuming, and that means that we retain the water better overall. So if I had a choice between taking water with 20 grams of protein powder or, you know, 2 cups of milk, I would rather go with the 2 cups of milk. Cheaper, going to rehydrate better, it's going to get just as good of protein, and you're going to get a pretty similar amount of protein overall, whether that's chocolate milk or regular milk.
To be honest, it's probably going to taste better too.
Yeah, potentially, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you're talking about white rice. You said within an hour,
uh-huh,
you might eat like a slice of bread. The rice would be before an hour before the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
so
2 hours?
And so what I said is usually 1 to 4 hours before I'd like to have a pregame meal, if possible. And that could be, you know, an hour and a half in advance. It could be 4 hours in advance. You know, obviously the portion goes up the further in advance you eat because you have more time to digest it, and you're likely to feel hungrier after 4 hours than you would after 1 hour. So you want the portion to be a little bit larger. But that's not to say that you couldn't have white rice 30 minutes before a game either. It's just probably not maybe as practical overall. But white rice is about as simple of a carbohydrate as it gets. I mean, what's one of the first things that we give an infant when they finally have solid foods is rice cereal. Rice is bland and is easy tolerable for just about anyone there is. So giving white rice before, 30 minutes before, as long as it's in the appropriate portion, is fine. So normally what I would suggest for someone if they're eating less than an hour in advance is that they have 15 to 30 grams of carbohydrates. So they just, again, would have a smaller portion of white rice, or they might have a small slice of white bread or a sports drink or something like that.
How many times do you recommend athlete? Because I know you said it's 1 to 4 hours, but how many times in between 1 to 4 hours would you recommend?
Good question. So I would say probably I would have one meal, you know, one main meal, so whatever is that comfort zone for them. And then I would suggest that, you know, whether it's 4 hours or 2 hours, that's their one meal. And then they have one last snack. Is up to them at whether or not they want to do that. But let's say we've had a game, or we have a game 3 hours in advance. We ate something at school, so we had our pregame meal there. Then we go for a bus ride to the game, and then we have a little bit of warm-ups, and we have our pregame meeting. Okay, during that scenario, now we're less than an hour before the game, I would be sipping on a sports drink, or I might have a piece of fruit, or I might have a gel or a shot block or some sort of carbohydrates. So I would say you want to have that one pregame meal and then that one last bit of carbohydrates, 15 to 30 grams, you know, within the hour before the game.
And then they're not, but the way you practice like during the week, that's different or do the day of game?
That's a good question. Yeah, I would say you probably don't want to do the exact same thing all the time for every practice because at some point that's going to get monotonous and boring. But I think it's a good strategy for everyone to practice having, you know, if they want to tinker with what their pregame meal should be, then an ideal strategy would be to practice that before a practice. So if you decide, you know, my pregame meal is terrible and I don't really eat enough, okay, well, I'm going to go, instead of having that one piece of fruit, I'm going to have something solid like a sandwich beforehand. Okay, so if I want to have a sandwich before a game, that's fine, but I should probably test that out beforehand. So let's find a practice that's maybe at a similar time of the day of your game, or at the very least, let's try and have that sandwich, you know, at a similar time frame, this same amount of hours in advance you would plan to have it before a game. So if you're going to eat your pregame meal 2 hours before the game, let's try that same sandwich 2 hours before practice. And I would try and do it in a practice that you know is going to be a similar intensity level as a game. So if you're just doing a walkthrough, that's maybe not a good idea. But if you're doing an actual, you know, scrimmage or up-tempo type of atmosphere, that would be a time where it's a good thing to test out. I don't think you need to do it all the time, but I do think you should be testing out your pregame meals for practice because that's where you're going to make sure what works best. And just because something works okay for the pregame meal doesn't mean that's what's best for the pregame meal, right? So usually I'll tell my athletes to try something before a game or before practice, start off with something, so maybe it's a bagel, right? And then from there, okay, the bagel works well, but that doesn't mean it's the best thing, so maybe we could add something to it. So now maybe we add jelly, or maybe now we add honey, or maybe now we add a piece of banana to go with it. Okay, if that works well, okay, maybe we add something else. Maybe we add some applesauce on the side. So I usually try and find a starting point and then kind of work my way up and build up a larger portion. And then once you feel like, okay, I've started to hit to the point where it's getting closer to uncomfortable, maybe I go ahead and back down off that portion and find that balance of where you want to be. So it's always good to test out your pregame meals.
All right, so we're going to kind of go back and forth real quick between you two and just list off some of the other cost-effective ways to fuel an athlete pre and post-game. So just going to kind of go back and forth, list a few, and then I got to get over there to stop the other one because my partner's got to leave. So Paula, start us off. Something cost-effective.
Okay, so maybe instead of, if you want to incorporate more than trying to frozen canned, would be great options. If you're talking about fruit, then you want to avoid the added sugar to them. Unless you have an athlete that really needs weight and get it fit in somehow, then you could go for those. Usually you want to do the unsweetened canned or frozen, and then you could also do the apples, fruit cups, things like that might last you longer. Instead of getting lots of fresh vegetables, then go bad. You'll end up spending more money.
All right, frozen fruits, that's a great option. Brett?
Potatoes. All types of potatoes would work.
I love sweet potatoes. All right, potatoes, Paula?
Crackers.
It doesn't matter, white or whole grain or saltine or non-salt.
Well, if it's right before a game, then you might want to do like saltine or maybe not the whole grain. But if someone digests, you know, a little bit of fiber, okay, then it's fine to do some whole grain. And it probably depends on the portion that you're eating. So maybe crackers, graham crackers.
Crackers, that'll work. Brett?
Okay, I'm going to go dried fruit.
Dried fruit. See, I thought that wouldn't be good because then it's having to absorb that water and then digest and then.
I wouldn't say, good question. So dried fruit, I would say a small portion. So a handful of dried fruit right before the game would be fine. So, you know, a couple tablespoons worth of dried cranberries or dried raisins would be a last second burst of carbohydrates for a game.
All right, so dried fruit, Paula.
Bread.
All right, bread. And as Brett said earlier, white, preferably right before. Mm-hmm. Wheat if it's a little longer before. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. Rice. Rice is another easy. The cheapest you can get.
Bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Canned corn.
All right, so I thought corn had no nutritional value.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're looking for carbs. I'm not really worried about, if I was worried about overall value before a game, I wouldn't be having white bread, because white bread's basically nothing and white rice is basically nothing.
It has, so it's just you get the here. Starch out of it, you get the carbs.
I'm just getting carbohydrates. Okay. That's all I'm looking for.
All right, so corn, what you got, Paula?
Honey.
Ah, oh, good.
I'm going to go bananas.
Wait, you already said bananas.
You said bananas? Jelly instead of honey. I'm going to say jelly.
Like grape jelly?
Yeah, any of those jellies to put on your...
But not with peanut butter.
Yeah. Well, if you're hours in advance, maybe a little bit of peanut butter is okay. Quickly, you know, short duration, then I would say, you know, jelly a little bit with just the bread we find.
All right. Tortillas? Ah, yes. Like tortillas.
Okay. Tortillas. I'm going to say juice.
Juice. All right. A specific kind of juice?
A little bit of apple juice would work. Couple hours to go with your pregame meal.
Yeah. And you could dilute it to need, like if you can't do that much sugar.
All right. Anything else?
Pretzels.
Pretzels.
Ooh, good one. Pasta. Pasta.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say pasta. And I'm thinking like right before the game.
So yeah, pregame meal type thing. Okay.
So you could do, if not applesauce, some of those other fruits.
Oh, those are good.
Squeezy fruits.
They're not the cheapest thing, but they're still, you can still do them, Those little squeezable baby ones, but they make it an adult form now,
They go all kinds now.
Yeah, those are good. I'm stumped at this point. Those are all good options.
You still have the list?
I have the we've gone through.
Oh, okay.
That'll work. All right, so that'll close this out. Any final questions? Nope, we're good. Any final parting thoughts?
Nope, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then hopefully we'll get you guys back out to the school sometime next year.
Absolutely.
Pleasure to meet you, Paula.
Thank you.
Rhett, nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amber and it's Tasha, right?
Yes.
Amber and Tasha, thanks. Jasmine, thanks. So for a sports medicine broadcast at the Sports Medicine Update, that's a wrap.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.